evening and welcome to HealthBeat on WDIY. HealthBeat is a program generously supported and co-hosted by our friends at the Leonard Parker Pool Institute for Health. I'm your co-host, Margaret McConnell, the Executive Director at WDIY. I'm here with my co-host, Dr. Samantha Shack, the Acting Executive Director of the Leonard Parker Pool Institute for Health.
Good evening. Looking forward to tonight's conversation.
So last month, we had a really great conversation with a round table of local nonprofit leaders who all participated in the Pool Fellowship for Health. When reflecting on the fellowship's impact in the Lehigh Valley, a common theme was relationships being a centerpiece for meaningful work. So knowing that relationships are built through time and consistency, today we want to talk about how creating a healthier community together requires support from not only the nonprofit sector, but local government staffers as well. Tonight we have with us the Manager of Civic Innovation for the City of Allentown, Laura Cole. Laura is committed to serving as a friendly pathway that connects community with local government. Laura was once a school teacher who transitioned to working in social entrepreneurship, which is really very cool. Laura now assists the Cohesion Network with hosting multiple monthly neighborhood forums, as well as Allentown City Hall at the table. This episode of HealthBeat will discuss the role local government plays in holistic neighborhood development. We'll discuss the ways local government intervention has failed in the past, what tools the city is deploying to work closely with residents to find solutions to their problems, and what civic innovation from a city perspective should look like in 2025, 2030, and beyond. That's a mouthpiece. So let's start breaking it down. Welcome to the show, Laura.
Exciting to be here.
So you've been working in the office of Mayor Matt Turk for about 2 years now in your current position. How would you describe the current state of civic engagement in Allentown between the city and its residents?
I mean, just the other day in a cabinet meeting, one of our cabinet heads said, I think we were doing the most civic engagement we've ever done. And I was like, great, let's do more. You know, we're trying to explore new ways of interacting with residents and just really always trying to communicate more, involve residents where it's appropriate, and just think about, you know, how are we pulling more people in? But it's day by day, we're learning more.
It's a process.
Indeed. Indeed it is.
What have you found has been working? Is there one thing that you're like, yep, this is a go-to? If we have something we need to get out to the public, this is our first avenue.
I think the city has done a really good job with its social media presence. Okay. You know, our communications director, Genesis Ortega, has really invested in our brand. So we have, you know, we have a graphic designer, Kat Mako, and she's phenomenal. She's an artist, but she's really doing a lot to make our collateral eye-catching and beautiful and easy to read. You know, we also have a video storyteller, Chelsea White Corbler. She's phenomenal. She comes from the journalism world. And so trying to just, you know, in addition to sharing lots of opportunities to engage, but also telling the story. So, you know, Chelsea's made videos about our street paving team and, you know, our community health team, our firefighters. And so just telling that story. You know, I think our subscriber count, is that what you call it on social media? I'm kind of a Luddite. It's gone up by a lot. You know, we're reaching more people. We try to do things English and Spanish. Additionally, you mentioned this City Hall at the table. That's another method that we're trying to use. It's a once a month meeting where we are inviting city leaders of all descriptions, right? You know, there's leaders with a title and leaders without a title, and, you know, inviting them, quote unquote, to the table for decision-making and just sharing, like, what is, you know, what do you see is an issue in your neighborhood? How can we work together to solve it? I think the city's got like three surveys active right now. Like, you know, we just finished this huge community health needs assessment. We did a Safe Streets for All survey. Like, we're always trying to just get more resident input. So I think between social media, chat, and, you know, our surveying and outreach in that capacity, we're just trying to cast a wide net.
I would second that. I think that all of those efforts really have helped the city of Allentown to take great strides mm-hmm. in terms of their relationship with the residents who live here. And I think if someone was hearing all those things, they might not associate that with civic engagement. Mm. So I'm curious about what your definition of civic engagement is and how all these pieces fit together under this, you know, title of civic engagement.
Oh, I'm such a civic engagement nerd. I'm glad you asked that. So my journey in this world, if you will, is when I was a teacher, right? And, you know, knowing that parents play such an integral role in a child's educational development, but that, you know, parents who are low income don't have the same amount of free time. Yep. And, you know, engagement kind of like hinges on this amorphous time that is not when you're working and it's not when you're sleeping. It's in that free time when you have to do all of your house chores and everything. So it's, you actually have a very finite amount of time to do what I deem as community care, engagement, if you will. And so, you know, having been a teacher and knowing, you know, for my parents, it's a cost-benefit analysis. Do they come to the parent-teacher conference or do they go to the grocery store? Do they, you know, take their clothes to the laundromat? Like, it's just, right. you know, everybody, there's this idea like, oh, we all have the same 24 hours of the day, which is not right. true. If right. you are well-resourced, you can pay someone to go shopping for you and you absolutely have a washer and dryer in your home. And so that's kind of what led me to the social entrepreneurship world. And, you know, I co-founded a nonprofit that was about actually incentivizing community engagement, more recognizing the time that people were investing in their communities. You know, and so like through that world, like I think there's a lot of models like, you know, the ladder of participation, you know, so since I've been in government, like thinking about how is engagement different from the nonprofit sector mm-hmm. to the mm-hmm. government sector. And, you know, there's this model, this ladder of participation called the Arnstein model, which everybody, you know, if you're an engagement nerd, you know it, but it never really sat well with me because it seems very zero sum. It's very much like either the government has all the control. And I think the bottom rung is like manipulation, which is, okay, it's like not nice. Mm-hmm. And then the top rung is citizen control. So it's like either the government's in control or citizens are in control. And that never really sat well with me. And so through the powers of the internet, I actually discovered another model called the Wilcox model, which was developed by a lovely British gentleman that I actually also found through the internet. And I got to talk to him. And that's more of like it's like a growing the table mentality. Mm. It's like at the bare minimum, you know, for engagement, the bare minimum that a government needs to do is inform, mm-hmm. right? You need to tell people what you're doing, why you're doing it, when you're doing it. You got to put it in multiple channels, in multiple languages. You got to keep the message so that, you know, because again, if you put the message out there one time, doesn't mean that people are going to hear it.
Right.
But then it goes all the way towards like the top rung is supporting individual initiatives. So this idea that we're working together mm-hmm. And it's not that one side's in charge, that it's how do we continue to grow in partnership. And you know, the textbook definition of civic engagement is, you know, individual and collective actions designed to identify and address issues of public concern. Mm-hmm. So, you know, how do residents and government partner together to mm-hmm. address issues of public concern?
That really, I think, speaks to a paradigm shift
mm-hmm.
Of not just telling residents what the issues are and what the answers will be, but to be in conversation with the residents you're serving and thinking about collective solutions together, which is so much of what we talk about on the show and how that impacts health over time.
Yes.
The same is true within government infrastructure.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, through my nonprofit, I was lucky to be a part of several grants that were about, you know, customer service and, you know, using the net promoter score in a nonprofit. We can use that in government as well, right? Like we are a service organization, so we should be learning about how we can provide more excellent service. And also, you know, another grant we were a part of was to learn about human-centered design. And that too, I think that has been, I mean, it's been missing from most industries, which is kind of silly because humans are what we've always been
all
serving, who, you know, every industry is built around. But, you know, like most things, it's been slower to come to government, but there's a big trend now in service design being a topic of interest, and that it's coming to the forefront and people see that there's value in it now.
So let's get into maybe a little specifics as we're talking about the high level of civic engagement. So talk about some of the challenges that the city has endured in the past and what the current state is.
You know, I'm not as well versed to speak on the past of Allentown because I've only been here for 2 years, and you know, I've tried to get to know the players here in government, and you know, I can tell you that everybody here is a public servant and they deeply care about what they do. I think it's just, it's been the capacity issue that it's hard to make the case for engagement, or it's this episodic thing that, you know, oh, we need to get resident input, so it's just a checkbox at the end of a project. It hasn't been thought of as holistically, not because people haven't wanted to do it, but that there hasn't been someone dedicated to doing that, you know, for causes of resources or whatever. I know that the city has really invested in its neighborhood groups and building relationships with them. This is not unique to Allentown. This is a trend across the country that governments, they're not even starting at like a trust level of zero. They're starting at a trust deficit with their residents, you know, because of all the, you know, the urban renewal and all the things that in the past that government came in and said, hey, we have the answers. And that was not true then. It's not true now. And so, you know, I think that now, again, with my position and my background in engagement, like I am trying to reach out to all the departments and being this sort of collaborator and saying like, hey, if you guys are trying to do any sort of engagement this year, just loop me in, you know, let me help. Let me help find you space. Let me help do outreach and turnout. I'll go flyer doors for you, whatever. Even this year, our planning team wanted to do some engagement around our proposed zoning changes with Zone Allentown, and just learning that they had a heck of a time trying to find space. And so thinking about, well, how could we innovate and maybe have put out an RFP for space and you know, have some places on retainer that if we wanted to engage, you know, we could easily spin up a contract. I think it's more about getting towards that consistency and engagement. And that's what Chad attempts to do, is that, if I may, I call it like civic church, right? If you attend church, you attend a worship service, you don't know exactly what the preacher is going to say, right? But you know that you're going to take away an inspirational message. You don't know what snack is going to be out, but there'll probably be some cookies or coffee. And you know that you're going to, you know, see people that you hadn't seen in a week. And so, you know what to expect. And that's kind of chat, right? The schedule is always the same, but the agenda will change based on who's in the room. But it's that consistent, you know, like you opened, it's about consistency and people knowing there's at least one time a month where I know I can engage with city employees and we can talk about things.
I love the idea of a negative deficit of trust. Mm. And I think sometimes we assume that we're starting from zero, but acknowledging that maybe it's not even at zero, it is in that negative, or there's a deficit of trust, that consistency becomes even more critical. So showing up regularly helps you to get back to zero before you can even then build forward together. Right. And I think sometimes we don't think about that's that undoing of past experiences or past interactions. Yeah. And that can take a long time.
And I just wanted to clarify for our listeners what CHAT is, which is the acronym for City Hall at the Table, correct?
Correct. Yes.
Which is really, really fitting. I love that.
I can't even take, I was going to call it City Hall at Large, CHAL, but then Michaela Boyer, our executive assistant, she was like, it should be CHAT. And I was like, you're brilliant. Okay, that's right. Yeah. But it's what we're doing. We're chatting. Oh, okay. Brilliant.
So for over a year now, you've joined with Cohesion Network to host neighborhood conversations in Franklin Park and the first and sixth wards. What have you learned from those neighborhood meetings, and how do you think the city of Allentown is benefiting from them?
I mean, just me personally, I have benefited a lot from them. I mean, it was funny when I had been working in the city of Boston, and I knew I wanted to, my parents live in Bethlehem. I was pregnant with my second child. I wanted to come and I wanted to work in Allentown. I was really excited by Allentown. I have deep family roots here and, you know, just I'm excited by the city's past and its future. And so I subscribed to the morning call and I started kind of reading the news, just getting myself the lay of the land. And I think the city was doing its Imagine 2030, mm-hmm. or no, it wasn't called
Vision
2030. Imagine was Boston. And I read about the Cohesion Network, and it was so similar to what my nonprofit in Boston had been. And so I was like, the second I get there, I gotta meet them. And, you know, I just kind of cold outreached Darian from Cohesion, and he being himself was like, yeah, let's meet, let's get coffee. I just fell in love with their mission and what they do. You know, after having done a couple of city halls at the table, I almost felt like I need to do like a setting the table, because people come to government, like, because we've been in this paradigm for so long that government positions itself as the problem solver, you generally get people coming with complaints, which mm-hmm. is fine. It's fine to come with a complaint. But what I love about Cohesion is that they're very solutions driven. Like, you can come with a complaint, but you have to be brainstorming about what we could do about it. You're not allowed to just sit in the complaint. You have to take a step further, and we'll help you do that. And so I really leaned on my background as a community organizer and thinking about, well, what we need to just sort of do this organizing 101 training to get people to see themselves as, I call it like a civic actor, right? You're not just a passive person in Allentown. Like, you do have like the 101 of community organizing is about power and the fact that everybody has it, mm-hmm. right? We forget that, we trade it away. But if you can remind people, like, no, you have agency, you have a voice, and you can use it, you know, you have full permission of the universe to use your voice and exercise what you think is right. And so working with Cohesion to sort of develop this training series about, you know, and it sounds silly, like how to build relationships, but, you know, in the community organizing world, there's a model of having a what's called an individual relational meeting, that you're trying to get and hear someone's story and have them share some aspects of their story with you, or vice versa. That is, it's a natural conversation that doesn't happen automatically. And so just almost it's like giving, I don't want to say permission, mm-hmm. but this just reminding people, like, hey, you can always double click on something that someone said. You can try to understand a person better at any point, and you can make it intentional. And that by building that foundation with that person, then you can work together. And so doing that, learning about, you know, power mapping, and how do you learn, like, who are your allies in this work? How do you connect with them? Who are people that might stand in your way, and you're going to need to think about what their needs and what their challenges are, you know? So it was amazing for me to sort of develop this curriculum, but then to see it in action, that, you know, I think when we were in Franklin Park, we were just doing the, like, a hypothetical lesson. And we were just saying, hypothetically, if we're talking about housing, and the meeting just was taken out of my hands, and I was happy. But that, you know, the people who had attended the meeting just started kind of talking and developing an action about, mm-hmm. you know, what they're going to go talk to city council about a grant. And so what I learned was that, you know, again, the pieces of the puzzle are here in Allentown. There are so many leaders who just need the platform, or they need just a little bit of training, or they just need to have the connections made to the other people doing the work. So it's just been so affirming to work with Cohesion and to be connected to so many amazing people. Like, you know, through Cohesion, I built really strong relationships with the parking authority. So I invite them out to all of our chats. And, you know, we just tried something, a new thing last week, where, you know, we brought a bunch of city departments together to just kind of give love to one block. You know, again, there's a relationship for so long just has languished, that, you know, obviously the parking authority and the city have a lot of things in common and a lot of business in common. And we just sort of let those connections wither. And it takes intentionality to mm-hmm. bring those back together. Mm-hmm. So a long-winded answer to just say, you know, I just think that the base that Darian and Yolanda have built with Cohesion is just, it's phenomenal. Like, you talk about trust, like, that's what's there. And so to be able to come into that space as someone from government and to try to change that narrative of, like, I remember the first time I went to Franklin Park, like, they let me have it. They just, I just kind of got verbal lashing for an hour. In government, you kind of, as a public servant, you have to accept that role. Yes. I think a lot of people are scared to be like, they're yelling at me. It's like, they're not yelling at me. They're yelling at the city at large in general, as they should. But that as I kept coming back, that people saw that, hey, I'm a partner in this work, and that we can, you know, so people reach out to me when they need a connection to a city department. It's, I love them.
You're seeking to understand, though, right?
Right.
I think that's the important piece, and that's courageous leadership to be able to stand in front of a group that may not have the most positive things to say and absorb that in a way that's not personal to you, but that is about creating safe space for people to vent so that we can move forward together. That's not always what we see. And so give you credit for starting that piece. And I think the other piece that you articulated is what two guests that we've had on the show in the past is Sean Duncan and David Park from FCS Ministries in Atlanta. And I think part of what we often assume will happen is that we'll convene a big group and everyone will just tell us what they need. And what you just highlighted is that underneath that big group, there's one-to-one relationships, right? And so it comes down to individual people knowing one another, having a shared interest or commitment to something, smaller groups coming together that lead to those bigger groups, which then can partner with the city. And that level of civic infrastructure, we don't have a lot of ways often of creating that. You know, we have our regional leadership, we have our county leadership and our city leadership, but what happens underneath that? And not particular to Allentown, across the board, we sort of have not invested as a country in that neighborhood level infrastructure that enables people to feel empowered and connected to something bigger, where they can then share that and feel like it's going to go somewhere and not fall on deaf ears. I think that's maybe new and different for here, but also probably new and different for a lot of other areas.
Well, that, I mean, you talk about community organizing, and it's changed so much from 50, 60 years ago, because back then, you know, neighborhoods were very densely connected,
right?
Because people generally stayed in place, right? People are more transient nowadays, often not by choice. And when people move around, that disrupts what you're talking about. It disrupts a neighborhood, and that, you know, the things that we took for granted that were going to happen naturally, like neighbors are going to bring cookies to the person who just moved in and are going to bring their neighbor's trash cans up. It's because they knew each other. But nowadays people kind of think like, well, you know, I don't know if they're going to be there, or I, you know, maybe they're different from me, so I don't know if I can connect with them. It has to be intentional now. There's not another option.
So getting back to talking about bringing people to the table and the role of city government is really to open that room up, to open the table, to welcome people and say, yes, you do have a seat here. Sam, when it comes to hosting neighborhood meetings, what is the end goal when you think about 5 to 10 years down the road after you've had all of these meetings and all of these chats?
Great question. The goal is to develop that neighborhood infrastructure, is to create space where neighbors know one another. They have a regular cadence of connecting with one another and also feel empowered to be able to advocate for what they need for their own neighborhood. So really creating that sense of pride in neighborhood and that sense of connection amongst those who are living here. I think, you know, our challenge is as people move around or feel as though they may not know their neighbors, where are we investing in those relationships and how are we developing a sense of pride? Because all of those neighborhood, individual neighborhood sense of connection and sense of belonging. So one thing we talk about often is our vital conditions. And the one at the center of all that is sense of belonging and civic muscle. And this really speaks to that piece. Without that component, all the rest is not possible. So for us to improve housing and education, instead of it just being a systems top-down approach of we're going to do this to the community, what does it mean to do with the community? And doing with the community is only possible if this neighborhood infrastructure is in place so that people have a way to organize themselves and connect with one another. And so the long goal is to really make sure that there is sustainable leadership from a neighborhood level, sustainable infrastructure that enables them to have the resources they need to continue to create the community that they want to live in and want to see. And I think the city becomes a really critical piece of that puzzle as well, because it needs to be in partnership with the city in which we all are living.
And the city provides resources and some of those services that are needed as part of those vital conditions are clearly a role that the city government has.
They provide a lot of the resources. We're all connected by that sense of city, right? And so they are the centerpiece of that. They are a neutral convener many times. So everyone has that as a common denominator to come together around. They can also be an anchor in our city and be able to support infrastructure or initiatives at a federal and state level within the city in a way that no one else can. And so they really, in addition to providing a wide array of services for residents who live here, which also leads to them getting the complaints, but that is par for the course, they can also play this role of really bringing people together in a unique way that I think not many other groups can do.
Yes. I mean, that's what I found from the nonprofit sector is that, you know, you can put out the call, but it's from the strength of your relationships that people are going to show up. Whereas, you know, I don't want to say the brand recognition of the government, but yes, that, you know, people will come just because the city of Allentown has planned something because they're curious or they know that that's a forum for them to meaningfully share their voice. So that I do see is where the city needs to grow. Like, we are the convener. We can bring people to the table and then supercharge them with the resources or the knowledge that they need to accomplish their own goals.
And when done in partnership with the nonprofits and other groups around here who have something to add to that, then that's where the partnership really happens, right? That's where the collaboration happens. Here's what the city can provide, and then here's what everyone else can layer on to that. The other thing I would want to acknowledge is we're talking about big systems. So when you're looking at city government, healthcare, education, these are really complicated systems with a lot of departments, a lot of moving pieces. It takes nearly a system's whole capacity just to manage the internal communications, right? Making sure departments know what one another is doing, what the priorities of the organization as a whole are, how processes are going to happen. Going the extra step of then being intentional about your external outreach consistently and not just the one-time sort of one-directional interaction or checking that box piece really is requiring systems to add another layer to the work that they do, which is not easy. But I think it's great that our city and many of our other systems right now are really putting in efforts to have that ongoing conversation with residents and with community members or the individuals that they serve in a way that we may not have seen in past years.
So just to wrap up, if I'm a listener in this city and I'm wondering, how does this work? How do I get myself there? What's one thing you would tell a city resident who is looking to be engaged?
It's funny that you phrase it that way because, you know, I know one of the questions was like, what's the vision for engagement in Allentown? And, you know, I wrote a whole manifesto, but like the top line is, you know, Allentown is a place where nobody questions how to get plugged in or why they should. Right? Like this idea that engagement leads to opportunity. You know, in my nonprofit, we found that as you engaged more, unemployment rates decrease, right? That you, every time you engage, you're being exposed to new people, new opportunities, new ideas. I kind of petition people, start with your neighborhood group, right? Like those were a really key piece of infrastructure that have languished over the years. I've talked to a lot of them. They have got amazing older people who are ready to pass the torch, that are just looking for someone to step up. And I think it's that simple, like start with your neighborhood group, come to chat, reach out to us at the city. You know, in the mayor's office, we're always looking to hear from residents about what we can do in partnership to improve quality of life.
And start following them on social media. I will second that the social media presence has really increased. And there's a wealth of information about school immunizations, pools and parks, where events are happening, where you can sort of be a part of something. And so all that information is there. And I know that I have found a lot of information from that, even that I did not know. So highly recommend it.
Actually, to that point too, you know, we recently revamped our city's website. And if you go right beneath the fold, there's a feature called Today in Allentown, which tells you about, is there a street cleaning on your block today? What does the trash schedule look like? Are there any city meetings such as, you know, zoning hearing board? All of those are public meetings and people should be attending them, right? The more that people show up, the more that leaders involved know what people care about.
Well, this was a really great conversation. I'm sorry to say we are out of time, but there's lots of resources out there. As Laura stated, go to the website, go to social media. And if you want to listen to this program again, you can go to wdiy.org or your favorite podcast platform. Thanks for joining us. Thank you, Sam and Laura. Hope you all have a great evening.
If you enjoyed this program, please go to the WDIY website or app to share or become a WDIY member.